And now your speaker, Ron Martin.
In the 15th chapter of the book of Luke, there are those who accuse Jesus of eating with the publicans and sinners. The scribes and Pharisees murmured and said, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And he spake three parables, as recorded in the 15th chapter of Luke, to these people. He says that there was a shepherd who had 100 sheep. One of those sheep was lost. He says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" That's a question. If any of us have something that is lost, do we not search after it? Do we not seek after it? Do we not try our best to find it? He said this shepherd went back. He searched after, he sought after that one that was lost. And whenever he found it, he put this sheep upon his shoulders and brought it back, assembled his friends and neighbors together and said, "Rejoice with me, for I have found that which is lost." Jesus said, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Jesus said, whenever one person comes forward, whenever one person decides to turn their life around and to follow after those things that are higher, that there is rejoicing even in the presence of God. Then the second parable is likened to it. He says, there was a woman. This woman had 10 pieces of silver. One of the coins, 10% of the coins was lost. One of those coins somehow became misplaced. And he says, this woman lit a candle, she swept her house, and she sought diligently till she found it. And the same is true. Whenever she found it, as in the shepherd, she said that there was rejoicing because she had found that which was lost. And Jesus also says right here in verse 10, "Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Now, whenever we understand about seeking after and the searching after that which is lost, we understand about a shepherd goes after and seeks after one that is lost. He does so till he finds it. We understand about a woman who had a coin that was lost. We understand the intensity of the search and how diligently she sought after that which was lost, just like any of us would do. A little sheep, a little lamb, has a very poor sense of direction, and they can very easily wander off and go astray. A coin doesn't have any tangible sense of direction. That coin just was lost on its own. The coin didn't know it was lost. Then the third parable that Jesus teaches here is a parable that we have all heard from the very time that we were old enough to read, old enough to study God's Word. We've heard it talked about from our pulpits, but it's still a parable that pulls at our hearts because it affects so many of us. There was the parable of a man who had two sons. The younger son said to his father, "Give me the portion of my inheritance." And so he got his portion, about a third of the inheritance. And he took his father's inheritance and went off into a far country. And there this boy spent his time in riotous living. And finally the scriptures say that as he spent all that he had, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Now look at this boy who is so rebellious. He thinks as we go through that stage in our development, I want to be out on my own. I want to do what I want to do. I want to forget about home and rules and whatever I'm told to do. And I want to do what I want to do. And so he gathered all together and went into that far country. He spent his substance, spent all that he had. And finally, the day came, the hour arrived, when he reached down into his purse and he had spent all that he had. And he began probably for the first time in all of his life to really be in want. And it says here in this parable that he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the field to feed swine. And also it tells about how hungry this boy was. So hungry that he would have fain to have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave to him. While he had money, he had friends. But there arose that time when he had no money, and he turned around and he had nobody to help him. And as he's in that pig pen, he starts thinking about home. He starts thinking about his situation in life. And as he starts thinking, the scriptures say he came to himself. I think those are words that we must impound into our hearts. This boy, away from his home, away from his father, away from those who loved him, in that pig pen, he came to himself. And as he came to himself, he started thinking, look at my situation. Look how I am. Look where I've come down, how low I am. And he starts thinking about home. And he asks himself a question. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? In all of our lives, there are times that we must look at ourselves. We must determine how we stand. And I wonder this morning, and I want you to start thinking about this question. How close are we to God? How do we stand in God's presence? How do we stand in God's sight? This boy, away from home, away from his father, his mother, those that cared about him. He said, as he came to himself, look at those servants back in my father's house. They have bread enough and to spare, and I am here perishing with hunger. And he makes a determination right here. He says, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. Now notice that great determination. Someone has said, and I remember Brother Baxter saying so well in class, the three hardest words for us to say, I have sinned. This boy looks at himself. He starts looking at himself without any well-to-do, without any rose-colored glasses, and he sees himself as he is. And he says, I am a sinner. Walks out of that pig pen, starts on his way with a confession on his lips, ready to make a change in his life. And his father sees him. It says his father sees him yet a great way off. And his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now, as I read through this story of this prodigal son, I see it from several different angles. Number one, look at that boy as he left home. As the boy left home, it was with pride, with arrogance. He said, I will go off. I will do what I want to do. I will forget about what I've been taught. And he turns his back upon those that love him. But now as he comes back home, notice the difference. He comes back home in that humble attitude. He comes saying to his father, Father, I have sinned. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Simply make me as one of thy hired servants. I'm ready to work for you. I don't want to be a son anymore. Just make me as a hired servant. But the father shows that love and compassion for this boy. Rebellious as he may have been, his father puts his arms around him. He kisses him. He says, put forth the best robe and bring it and put it on his back. Put shoes on his feet. Put a ring on his finger. Kill the fatted calf. For this my son was dead and is alive again. Now how wonderful that is. This boy lost, but now is found again. He can come back. He can be a part of the family. So many people today in the Lord's church, once part of it, once counted as a son in Christ, a member of the body of Christ, who turn their back upon the church and go their way, go off into the field of sin, forget about God, forget about what God has said to do. They spend their life and their time in riotous living, forgetting about God and doing what God has told them to do. And finally in their life they realize where they are. They realize that they are in sin and without hope and without God in this present world. And thus, they must make a change in their lives. And God is always ready and willing to forgive, to bring them part of the body of Christ. But there are those who are like this elder brother here. The elder brother who had been out in the sin, out in the field, he had not been in sin. He had been working each day. But as he worked, he only thought of himself. He filled himself with self-righteousness and with pride. And whenever he heard the joy, he would not rejoice at this one who had come back again. In our study of God's Word this morning, I want to bring out and put a passage of Scripture in your mind that will help you all through this week. And the passage of Scripture under consideration is what William Ramsey read this morning. In James, the fourth chapter, James says to us, Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Whenever we think about our submission to the will of God, look at that prodigal son as a prime example. Submit yourselves to the will of God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. This boy had to realize, I am a sinner. I am rebelling at what God told me to do. Therefore, I have to turn my life around. And I have to turn it to God and do His will. Then the next passage of this scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. There must be that awareness of the devil, of resisting the devil. Be aware that the devil is alive. And the next part is draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Look at the prodigal son in terms of this passage. This prodigal son thought, I will go away. I will forget about my father. I will forget about what he said to do, and I will go on my own way. A lot of people are in this same situation today. They have left their father. They, in their own minds, have tried to say, I will forget about God. I will do whatever I want to do. I will go my own way. Whenever I was a young boy out in the Riverside community, I would sometimes go out, especially in the afternoon. And as I would go out in the afternoon, I would walk around the field that we had beside of our house. As I walked around that field as a young lad, I felt that God was right there with me. That as I walked along, that God was real. And as I walked along, I would talk with him along the way. Now, how beautiful that is. That as we go through life, we don't go like the prodigal son did, away from God, doing our own will. But each of us, as we walk through life, we walk together with our Father. Before you have a songbook. I'd like for you to turn in your songbook, and I'd like to show you a beautiful song together. It's what we're talking about. If you'll turn in your songbooks to page number 546. In this beautiful song here, this passage in our minds, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Notice what these words say. My God and I go in the fields together. We walk and talk as good friends should and do. We clasp our hands. Our voices ring with laughter. My God and I walk through the meadows hue. We clasp our hands. Our voices ring with laughter. My God and I walk through the meadows hue. He tells me all the years that went before me, when heavenly plans were made for me to be, when all was but a dream of dim concession to come to life, earth's verdant glow. When all was but a dream of dim conception to come to life, earth's verdant glow see. My God and I go for a together. We'll walk and talk as good friends should and do. This earth will pass, and with it common trifles. But God and I will go unendingly. This earth will pass, and with it common trifles. But God and I will go unendingly. Now, that beautiful song there so well illustrates exactly what James is saying here this morning. Look at this prodigal son as we've talked about in Luke chapter 15. He went away from his father. He could not say his relationship to God as it should have been. But then he decided, I must come back. I must remember. I must repent. And I must renew my relationship to God. The Apostle Paul, in one of the greatest sermons that we have recorded, is found in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. Look over there. Paul is standing in the city of Athens. on a place called the Areopagus or Mars Hill. And as he stands there, he starts talking to them about God and about all the things that God has done. Our God is real. Our God is alive. Our God is all-powerful. And we are walking together with God. The thing that I want you to see from this passage is this, that God is just as close to us as we want Him to be. Now, I wonder this morning, how close is God to each of us? The Apostle Paul said, "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own prophets have said, for we are his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that God, the Godhead, is likened to gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he raised him from the dead." Now, as I read this from the Apostle Paul, in talking to these who did not know God, number one, look at God. In him we live, we move, we have our being. Whenever we think about God, he is not far from every one of us. Now, the important question of the day is this: how can we be close to God? James says it is important for each of us to draw close to God, and he will draw close to us. As I walk through this life, do I walk respecting God as my Father? Do I feel close to God? And as I feel close to God, am I reading his word? Am I praying to the Father? Am I meditating upon his will? Am I worshiping God from the very depths of my heart? Am I like that young man several years ago who walked around the field? And as he walked around the field, do I talk to God? Do I feel close to God? And as I live my life upon this earth, the important question is God a part of my life? I thank you for your most cordial invitation to be here today and to study these thoughts from the Word of God. You know, those who responded to the invitation during the gospel meeting are partaking of the Lord's Supper for the first time this day. They are wonderful that they had the opportunity to come and to respond to the invitation. During the gospel meeting, these fine young people obeyed the gospel. Steve Rich, Lori Bogle, Carrie Campbell, and Michelle Nee. They came, they believed with all of their heart that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And as they believed with all of their heart, they turned their lives around and turned to follow after Christ. They are looking to Christ as their example for their lives. They were willing to stand before men, and they were willing to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They submitted their obedience to the will of God. They were buried with their Lord in baptism for the remission of their sins and raised up out of that watery grave to walk in newness of life. God's plan of obedience is simple and it's easy to be obeyed, but it takes our determination, our willingness to obey exactly what God has said to do. This morning in our audience, there are those who need to step out, come down, and obey exactly what God has said to do. How close are you to God? If you haven't obeyed the gospel, then you're walking away from God. You're not walking with God. Your relationship to God is far and apart. You are like that prodigal son, off in a far country, without God and without hope in this world. It is my wonderful privilege to extend the invitation of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ.